way to save us.
We do not ask for your poor or your hungry. We do not want your tired and sick.
It is your corrupt way, clan.
It is your evil that will be sought by us.
With every breath. Farms of filth, not to push the bounds and cross over. We can see corruption into our domain.
But if you do, one day you will look behind you and you will see we three. And on that day, you will realize it.
And we will send you to whatever god you wish.
And shepherds we shall be, putting my lord through. I will have to send this place in my hand. Carry out thy command, so we shall forever fall to thee, and teeming with souls shall it ever be.
In nomine Patri,
et Filii,
Spiritus Sancti.
And welcome to the season finale of The Wormhole. Thanks to everybody for joining us. We are working with some new equipment today, so if there's any technical difficulties, I'd appreciate if somebody would hit us up and let us know.
Yeah.
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 So tonight, we are going to do some things on Atlantis, and we are also going to have special guest calling in, Dr. Frank Fontana. He's a DNA specialist. When do we want to bring him in?
Whenever you're ready. You want to run some videos first tonight, or?
All I got is Atlantis stuff, so either we get into that for an hour, or we just go right to Dr. Fontana.
Well, then I think we should give him a little introduction and go into Dr. Fontana.
Well, shit, I guess I should put Skype on here first, huh?
Well, you would need that.
Yeah, I don't know who fucking hired me to do this. I am not good at what I do, though. what's our Skype number again?
It's 313-312-9050.
Well, there you go. There it is. Tonight I wanted to do something a little special, kind of like last week or the last show I had, I guess, was our special ghost episode. And people really seem to like it, so figure we give it another try today. And we'll do some things on Atlantis. Maybe you guys don't know much about it, or you think it's more folklore than anything. But I think you should really give it a second thought about it, because it's real, I believe. I mean, I'm a big Edgar Casey fan, and anybody who knows anything about Edgar Casey, he was what they call the American prophet, or the sleeping prophet, and he could heal people in a, they called a sleeping trance. He'd kind of put himself into a self-induced hypnotism, and you could pretty much ask him any question about anything, and he would give you the answer, you know. And it was, if you haven't read up or heard anything about Edgar Casey, I suggest that you guys go and look him up, man. You know, it's he's worth the time to listen to, I guess, you know. If you know what I'm saying. Are you there, or is it just me?
I do know what you're saying. I'm sorry. I was letting you go on with your monologue.
Yeah. So,
why don't we get into a couple Edgar Casey videos on Atlantis? Maybe we can get into a video or two and just kind of set the tone, so people might know what he's all about.
Yeah, I guess why not? Let's try it.
Because he had some prophecies on Atlantis, right?
Yeah, he is actually the first one I was going to get to about this, because he's the one pretty much that I that got me onto Atlantis and all the extra things like that, you know.
Get you interested in the
But in good times and in bad, Casey never lost his prophetic touch. In fact, another set of readings had emerged in the 1920s. Prophecies so astounding that they still echo today and may yet turn history on its head. For 43 years of his life, Edgar Casey would lie down on a couch, place his hands on his solar plexus, and fall into a self-induced trance. In this state, he traveled through space and time, foretelling wars, diagnosing illnesses, and in some of his most intriguing readings, rewriting history.
When we consider Edgar Casey's predictions, it's also interesting to look at some of the retrocognitive statements he made, looking back into history and making statements about things you wouldn't find in the history book.
The sleeping Casey seemed to know secrets about our past that only the most high-tech instruments and years of excavating could reveal. Long before the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 1947, Casey spoke of an ancient sect of Judaism, the Essenes, which experts believed was made up exclusively of men.
Edgar Casey spoke about the Essenes as a community that included men, women, and children.
Experts remained dubious, but in the 1950s, years after Casey's death, archaeologists uncovered skeletons of Essene women near the site of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
With geology, there are some interesting things as well. Casey suggested that at one time the Nile River flowed in the opposite direction and actually emptied directly into the Atlantic Ocean.
Amazingly, in the 1980s, satellite images from the space shuttle revealed unknown river valleys beneath the driest parts of the Sahara. More imaging and on-site exploration revealed that the Nile may indeed have once flowed through the Sahara and into the Atlantic.
In Edgar Casey's lifetime, much of what he said about lost civilizations, ancient worlds, was regarded as science fiction. It really wasn't until this century, and literally the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, that people have begun to look much harder and realistically at these readings as perhaps, well, maybe these aren't so far-fetched.
Probably the most astounding historical readings Casey gave had to do with the lost land of Atlantis.
Atlantis, from Edgar Casey's perspective, was the first great Eden on the earth. It predates the Eden that we know of between the Tigris and the Euphrates, the Eden of Adam and Eve. Edgar Casey saw Atlantis as a massive continent in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. At the time, the individuals that populated the area had a deep understanding of the forces of the universe and could actually harness some of these powers to use devices such as flying machines and crystals and so forth.
But according to the readings, the Atlanteans abused their power over nature, and Atlantis disappeared in a cataclysmic disaster some 10,000 years ago. Casey's most specifically timed prophecies said portions of Atlantis would rise again in 1968. It did not. But that year, a strange formation known as the Bimini Road was discovered in the Bahamas.
Most geologists think it's beach rock. Beach rock is rock that fractures parallel to the shore. Well, this is parallel to the shore, but the end of it curves around in a kind of a J shape, so that's unusual.
No one has gathered any conclusive evidence yet that proves Atlantis lies beneath the Bahamas. But according to Casey, Bimini isn't our only link to the lost continent. Before the final destruction, he said, Atlanteans hid records of their earliest history in other locations.
One was in the Yucatan Peninsula. The other was off the right front paw of the Sphinx in Egypt.
In the early 1990s, Dr. Robert Schock, a professor of geology at Boston University, conducted geological and seismic surveys on the Sphinx.
I was not in the business to support Edgar Casey or any other, I'll call him psychic or prophet. I really knew nothing about him other than his name.
Schock and his team were about to make an astounding discovery.
we were able to model what was underneath the Great Sphinx. We found under and in front of the left paw of the Sphinx what I believe is a major chamber, maybe up to 25 meters below the surface. Based on its regularity, it looks like it was human carved. And not only is it definitely there, but it seems to have something in it. The way it resonated, the way it ringed, seems to indicate there's something in the chamber.
Is it the Atlanteans' Hall of Records Casey spoke of? No one has explored it further.
So that was a little bit about Edgar Casey and his prophecies.
Wow. Greetings, everyone.
That's crazy. And he did
this is your light worker.
Yeah, it was like a self-induced hypnosis.
That's just wild.
He also
tapping into his subconscious.
Yeah, he healed like just countless people. He didn't even have to show up. Like you had to tell him where those people would be for the day, and in his mind he would go and find them, and go right inside of their body and see what was wrong with them and give them, you know, unheard of cures and stuff like that, you know.
Just giving them health tips and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he stumbled upon it from that, right? That's how he ended up stumbling upon that he could see into the future in the past.
Well, yeah, it was kind of like that, but he also, like, they didn't get to that. He would do, like, financial readings and stuff like that, and the weird stuff like that, because he was very devout Christian. You know, and back then, things like Atlantis or reincarnation were kind of a no-no in that. So, as he didn't know what he was doing, he was taking these, you know, he was sleeping, and when he woke up, the people would tell him, you know, you're talking about some weird stuff here. So then eventually they started delving more into that and doing actual Atlantis readings and stuff like that, to where, you know, if you look up these readings and stuff, it's some really crazy stuff that, you know, there's no way that he could have made this stuff up, you know.
Right, right. But then he also talks not only about Atlantis, but a lot of other, like the Eternal Library, or what is that?
Yeah, the Hall of Records.
The Hall of Records, which he said was in Egypt, right?
And then, that's what they talk about. Atlantis is where all their information and stuff from there is, which one is under the left paw of the Sphinx. And I've got a video later about that.
Oh, wow.
And he also talks about the Akashic Records, to where everybody's whole life is recorded in like this great big library that anybody can go to in their mind and get just any information.
Like the Bible says, it's in the Book of Life.
Right. Yeah. The Book of Life. That's pretty much what it is, you know? And, I mean, he did all sorts of things with the, you know, he talks about the Nephilim and the giants that once roamed the earth and stuff like that, you know?
And that's really fascinating stuff right there. And that's what, when we have our guest on, Mr. Fontana, I mean, that he's going to, we'll touch on that through some of the things that we've read of his.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm really looking forward to, because that stuff like that is really what gets me. I really dig it, you know. When it's away from the norm, that's really where I come into play. Abnormal, if you knew me. Of course, I'm abnormal.
Abby normal.
Now, this next video is just kind of a brief story on the trueness of Atlantis, Atlanta, the lost American city.
The lost American city of Atlantic Ocean.
Brother, MJ Energy, tapping into your consciousness once again. This time, I have some brief history of the planet Earth, particularly about the true story of Atlantis. As I have said in my past videos, there is, and has been before our civilization, other technically advanced species and races on the planet Earth. Each one having a downfall or fallout because the misused power and technology and did not grow spiritually with these kind of energies. In specific, I would like to share with you the true story of Atlantis, because the Earth civilization of today has a very similar behavior and is leading itself down a path of self-destruction. Wars, weapon monopolies, drugs and chemicals, and even the internet are playing a large role in the secret elite's plan, and they are misusing these energies to create energies of control and treating billions of people around the world as a commodity. So we must look to the past in order to correct our mistakes and learn from them, starting in the roots. Because those negative energies caused by the previous society fallouts are still around the Earth's atmosphere today. These other civilizations were human and non-humanoid beings that traveled through the existence, or the universe as we all know it, in search of other life and habitable planetary systems such as the Earth. The weapons they were using back then were much, much stronger in a multitude of ways because they were manipulating different kinds of cosmic energy. Some people will laugh at this information and criticize me for declaring it, saying it's fiction and I'm crazy, but it's not. This is the sad, true history of the planet we inhabit. These technologies they were using were killing many things and producing strong radioactivity. This is how creatures were created, such as the dinosaurs, who were later killed from another civilization of beings. The planet that was settled between Mars and Jupiter was destroyed by these like energies and beings. Later down the road, about 1 million years in the Earth's linear time scale, other space travelers and higher developed souls came to the planet and colonized it, creating the civilizations of Atlantis and Lemuria, or as otherwise known, Mu. Lemuria was a continent in the Pacific Ocean, but then, and Atlantis was a continent in the Atlantic Ocean back then, hence its name, Atlantis. Atlantis and Lemuria were far superior than the modern day Earth society because they were using high cosmic powered crystals and an infinite amount of sustainable energy stream. With the infinite energy and living in tune with these humans and other non-humanoid beings could reach a lifespan of the physical body of up to thousands of years and had the ability of time travel and communication with the higher planes of existence and the energetic masters that lie in those dimensions and realms. Atlantis and Mu had many different colonies around the world, especially in the neighboring islands. The beings here were living in oneness with the creation and not abusing anybody or anything, and thus their knowledge of the all that is grew, and they devised even more technologies with strong cosmic energy, again a free source of energy and existence. It was only about 300,000 years into the future of those times of the prosperity the Atlantean times began its plummet back into the dark realms of the negative energies, because many of these higher energies and advanced beings started to develop ego and believed that they were gods. Most people in this time now started to turn and use cosmic energy and the dark deeds, hurting others and creating false species and genetic manipulations. This is where a lot of our so-called fictional beings in our history of storytelling got their roots. The non-spiritual dark sider Atlanteans started to create weapons and other control technologies and sought war with the Lemurians because they were trying to force them out of the planet, seeing the planet Earth as its own commodity and resource. By abusing these types of weapons and the crystals from which they were harnessing these energies, they were shifting a lot of tectonic plates in the Earth's surface and causing much destruction to the magnetic field. And they kept going and going even further until around about 12,000 years ago, when Atlantis was completely demolished by these energies and began its descent into the depths of the sea, only leaving behind bits and pieces of its memory for us to uncover and all of its mysteries. A lot of the spiritual lightworkers from Atlantis and Lemuria were able to escape, fortunately. But still, the Earth's crust and magnetic field was so disrupted, so badly cracked and hurt, that the pole shift happened, causing what we know in the biblical scripture as the Great Flood. Further down the line, these light-working extraterrestrials, these spiritual extraterrestrials, came back and spread their knowledge to the common Earth population that was created from them in the first place. Egypt, Greece, parts of England, parts of Central Europe, Africa, South America, and Asia were all touched by these teachings that came from the Sky People, and they used their knowledge to create many things in those times. The pyramids of what we see today in Egypt, and other places on the planet were created using the power of levitation and extraterrestrial technologies. The abuse of these energies in Atlantis is what attributed to this civilization's fallout, and today on Earth we can see a similar pattern, just at a smaller scale. There are many greedy, evil people and families and power pulling all Earth humans and resources like a puppet on a string with no love energy in their hearts. They are controlling the Earth population and seeing them as a product, a livestock energy battery, and are controlling them with drugs, wars, religions, mental and genetic manipulations, and other brainwashing abilities. The elites rather spend trillions and trillions of Earth money and resources on control and suppression instead of helping everyone get a place to sleep, food to eat, and clothes on their back, and a decent education and consciousness raising. The reason all this is happening, however, starts with you, as a citizen of the planet Earth. We have to learn to live with love and balance in our hearts and minds, and start to see the metaphysical principles and aspects and energies all around us. We have to see and stop seeing everything as a physical manifestation, and that there is nothing else. There is more than the third dimensional vibrational frequency. You are more than just a third dimensional being, even though that's what most Earth society programs you to see. In doing this, we can grow with creation and increase the energy on the planet, thus increasing our ability to combine this with other technologies, and thus increasing our output of this positive energy, and thus even further increasing the stability and harmony of all people, places, and animals on this planet. Most Earth people who are listening to this transmission right now have already been manipulated and are saying this is wrong and laughing about it. They rather worship war, hate, ego, violence, and stupidity than waking up to the true nature that is within each and every one of us. As they say, history repeats itself again and again, and now we are there as well. Dear loving friends and people and other light workers on my YouTube channel and any others who are listening to this message, it is a sign. It is time to wake up and project that love energy that you feel inside your heart outwards so that we can change other people's actions and minds and hearts and become a civilization of peace instead of destroying ourselves like our ancestors. Only with spiritual energy we can live happy. Only with spiritual energy, suffering such as starvation, poverty, wars, hates, diseases, and other negative energies can be solved. It is up to you. You hold the key in your heart. Now close your eyes for just a quick moment if you are really feeling the love energy in your heart from what I am saying. Now put your hand on your heart and say inside with the most powerful energy radiating outwards, I am gaining love energy in my life, and so is the Earth society. I am gaining wisdom inside my life, and so is the Earth society. I am gaining knowledge inside my heart, and so is the Earth society. Hang here in this place and watch all evil energies and weapons being burned and broken. Watch the light pierce through space and wash it all away. I love you all.
And that was another of the stories there. You know, just try and break you guys into realizing that, you know, maybe things are different than you might see. You know, maybe there has been countless civilizations before us, you know. Like one of the videos talks about how Venus and Mercury, or Venus and Mars were inhabited, and then there was a planet after Mars that was the one that got blown up and turned into the asteroid belt, you know. Right. That's. You know, that's
lost continent of Mu.
Yeah, I have. That is like the counterpart to Atlantis. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because Atlantis was in the Atlantic Ocean, and Mu was in the Pacific. Right.
Right.
And you know, the Mu is more. Is less legend, I guess you could say, you know, because a lot of people have saw these things, and if you look at the topographic maps of the ocean, you can tell that there was some sort of landmass there at one point, you know, that's underwater now.
Yeah, all the island groups that are out throughout the South Pacific.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we should take a 3-minute break, and when we come back, we will... have on the line with us Mr. Dr. Frank Fontana.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis?
Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying...
Yes.
You're... Let's talk about...
Fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're seventh in literacy. 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories: number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period generation period ever period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore. Enough?
And that, my friends, is probably the most honest 3 minutes you'll hear in a long, long time.
So, can you say why?
You know, it's what I do. So, why don't we
Jeff
see if
Daniels
we can get
going off crazy,
Mr.
Yeah.
Fontana on the phone here.
All right.
Where do I find him?
Recent calls.
Okay. Recent. No, this is me. Do you got his number there? Yeah, we're not very good at this whole live thing, I don't think.
Some days it's better than others, but, you know. This is a...
Or have him just call us.
Right there.
Top one? Yeah. I don't know where to put it.
One, two.
Oh, right here.
It's from the 20.
No, he's got to call us. Mr. Fontana? This is, anyways.
Moving on to the next,
We don't need to move on. We just bullshit, right?
Some days it would seem like that.
I guess while we wait, I'll play you this. This was, a warning from 1965 from our good friend, Mr. Paul Harvey.
Paul.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
I'm Paul Harvey. Good day. I remember my grandpa used to listen to him.
Paul Harvey was the man.
And he was awesome.
He was like a Detroit original.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess we'll just go on to this until we get a call from him. This one's called The Ruins of Atlantis.
The Ruins of Atlantis?
The Ruins.
What civilization could have built itself underneath the ocean in the Bermuda Triangle? In 1938, world-famous psychic Edgar Cayce predicted that the fabled city of Atlantis would be discovered in 30 years' time. Fast forward 30 years to 1968, to the very tip of what is commonly referred to as the Bermuda Triangle, one of the most mysterious places on the planet, and the Bimini Road underwater rock formation was discovered by an airplane pilot while flying near the Bimini Islands in the Bahamas. This incredible formation of rectangular shaped cemented paving stones has been carbon dated to be over 15,000 years old, when the sea levels were much lower, and the Bimini Road could possibly have been a causeway leading from the mainland to Atlantis in the center of the Bermuda Triangle. Cayce described Atlantis as being an advanced civilization with superior technology based on the harnessing of intense energy from power crystals. It's been theorized by others that it's the residual energy from these crystals that has interfered with navigation compasses and electronics, and caused so many mysterious occurrences within this area. Just why is there a paved stone-like road sitting under the ocean in this area? How old would a civilization have to be to have lived during a time when the ocean didn't exist in this area? Is it just a coincidence that this structure is located in the Bermuda Triangle, or something more? Check out the rest of our channel and subscribe to discover more mysteries that you probably shouldn't.
So that's a little bit more about in the late night ruins of Atlantis. I am just having issues with this thing today.
Well, we got a new studio set up, and it's a new board and mixer.
Yeah, so, new microphones, new computers, the whole new setup. And
yeah,
I'm really doing my best to muddle through this, but we got up today and realized we were missing about four things we needed to run this correctly. So we're just kind of
running by the seat
winging
of our
it
hands.
Through this.
Yeah.
Dear Lord, I'm glad this is my season finale.
Go out like we came in on this.
Good things ratings don't matter when you're on the internet.
Exactly. Frank Fontana, if you're out there, give us a call.
Yeah,
313-312-9050.
Please. We obviously can work this shit from our side. I don't know what
But it did work when you called in, so if you could call in the phone line, that'd be great. Or yeah, anybody else please. That wants to talk on any of these subjects, if you're out there listening, give us a call and let's chit-chat. Come on.
Or, after we talk to Mr. Fontana for a minute, we're going to maybe take some calls, see if anybody wants to talk to him. So get the number ready. Be ready.
313-312-9050.
Now, this next video is, I'm kind of going more into the Bimini Road, which if you have watched the other videos here, Bimini is the spot that came up right at the 30-year mark where Edgar Cayce said, 30 years after now, you're going to find evidence of Atlantis is going to come to the top of the ocean or whatever. Which it didn't just float up mysteriously like that. But almost the exact year, they found this underwater thing called Bimini Road in Bermuda. And that's pretty much what this video is talking about, is a little bit more.
1960s, a startling discovery was made here off the coast of Bimini. A cluster of huge submerged stones in the form of a road. These stones, ranging in size from 1 to 10 tons, appear to have been fitted together by man and has convinced believers that this was part of Atlantis. The Atlantis legend dates back over 11,000 years and concerns a magnificent island empire in the Atlantic. It was described as a civilization unequaled before or since. It supposedly disappeared beneath the surface in a matter of hours, leaving not a trace behind. There are also those who believe that there may be giant power crystals deep in the earth here. They supposedly help guide UFOs from other worlds and might be the source that affects compasses on both ships and airplanes in the Bermuda Triangle.
Can see why some people would think that that was man-made.
They believe that this is Atlantis, that this is one of the first signs where Atlantis is beginning to show itself, and they believe that over a period of time that more and more and more of the civilization will be able to be seen.
I guess if you believe in that, you can see that road. Some of those edges are pretty straight, but kind of not quite enough to convince the skeptic.
I guess that was the last of that video. That was faster than I thought it was.
You gotta screen these videos better, man.
But, well, no, I just gotta pay attention, I think. So, yeah, I mean, anybody who looks at that Bimini Road that's not a freaking idiot can tell that that's not a natural structure. It's just too perfect. It goes in a line and then J's in. The river stones are like nice and smooth and walkways and the crystals. That's what this next video is about. Is and it makes sense because we use crystals still to this day.
Power crystals that are just.
I mean, where do you think the quartz watch came from?
I'm just saying, you think that those crystals are power crystals? They signal to the aliens?
That might be a little crazy, but they were definitely power crystals that powered a lot of the things that they used at that time.
Like Superman and his home planet?
No.
Of Krypton?
I think like...
They use crystals, remember?
Yeah, that's fake, though. Oh, crystals are real. Every single crystal on Earth vibrates to a frequency.
Crystals are real.
Yeah, exactly. And they do have power. I mean, I wouldn't say they have power to, like, fix your underarm odor like some of these hippies think. I'm just going to rub this crystal on under my arm and it's good, you know?
Is that what they do now?
I heard. And then there's the crystals that the weird hipsters friggin' sit there and touch and they're like, they give me power. Yeah, well, not the power to go get a fucking job, obviously.
Oh, yeah, that might be a problem.
They can, maybe it's busket powers that they give them.
They go out and earn a living through busket.
Yeah, in case you don't know what busketing is, it's a really nice way of saying begging.
Means you're a bum.
Yeah, a beggar, a bum,
you
a loser.
Eat shit I throw away.
So this is a little bit about the crystals here. This guy talks to him, obviously a rock expert.
Oh, hi, YouTubers. I want to show you, we talk about Atlantean crystals all the time, and I just want to show you what an Atlantean crystal looks like. Now, nobody has found the continent of Atlantis. They're looking for an entire continent. The whole continent was lost somehow. I can see where a train might get lost now and again, but a whole continent is hard to lose. Now, if they mean the island of Santorini, we have found that. The submerged island of Santorini. That's probably what it means. But Atlantis, actually, or Atlantean, actually, is a culture, is a civilization which is rumored to have existed on the Earth prior to modern cultures and even prior to ancient cultures. And that's quite true. About a million years ago, when humans were just starting to walk, you should pardon the expression, upright. There was an alien civilization on Earth, and it's called now Atlantis, but it was actually totally alien. It had nothing to do with Earth at all. And it was here simply to rebuild an interdimensional drive and then move on. They just had to get some materials, set up a little workshop, and go. It took them 3 years of our time to do this, by the way. The Earth was, days were a little bit different from now. They're a little bit slower now, a little bit longer now. And during that time, they developed a particular type of drive mechanism and a contact mechanism, which they used for crystals. Then they were, of course, renowned for their crystals. This particular crystal is made with very, very high-grade
very rare metals. It's a crystal. It's a grown crystal. And it includes within it, or around it, or on it, or in it, or whatever, multiple, it's molecularly bonded in it, is this stuff. And I don't know if you can see this glistening kind of stuff that it is. It's multicolored. That is what an Atlantean crystal looks like. Now, there's several other Atlantean crystals. This one is a drive motor crystal here, and I'll show you how to make a UFO drive at some point. And then I will demonstrate. Leave it the other camera there for a second. I'll pull another one into view. This is a different type of crystal. It looks like a regular crystal, like a quartz crystal, but look at the tinting of it, and you'll see that it is not a regular quartz crystal. It's called irradiated. And these are all irradiated with, they're bombarded with high energy, and they change into these crystals. And this is this bluish, purplish thing is rare. And I call it a dilithium crystal, just so you know what it does. It's the drive. This is the UFO drive crystal, and it really works great when you have the right Merc pools and all that in there. It's fantastic, and you can go from dimension to dimension quite easily. I can show you how that's done. And we can actually take a little interdimensional trip together with the camera running, and we'll just see how it works, how you get from one dimension to another. Okay, so these are Atlantean crystals, and yes, you can get them from me. I do have them from time to time.
So that's he's talking about the crystals a little bit there, and you know, any watchmaker will tell you that you can power things with crystals. I mean, that's how a lot of watches are 2,000-year watches, they say. You know, they won't stop ticking for 2,000 years, and it's because of crystals, you know.
That's a good hookup then.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they all vibrate to a frequency, so if you can harness that energy somehow, which is maybe what the Atlanteans were doing, and, you know, and that's what Edgar Cayce says, is he says they had different size ones, and they had, like, one great big one that was the real downfall of the Earth at that time, which they say goes back to the story of Noah and all that, when the world was flooded. You know, it was either, like, a pole shift or some sort of a cosmic catastrophe that caused, you know, the Earth to change like that.
Well, either way, it definitely caused a lot of changes.
Yeah.
And is destroyed a lot of the world. Something happened, obviously, some sort of cataclysmic event.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the things underwater that we have found that we know couldn't have been above water for like 80,000 years or something, you know, but there's man-made structures there.
Yeah, well, and not to mention, I mean, there's obviously clearly a hole between the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans. I mean, you could tell that there was something there from before.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really it. I mean, okay, I guess we'll do this next one. This next one is a little bit about the Bermuda Triangle, to kind of let you guys know a little bit about that. And this is 10 weird facts about the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, they were the Dardani tribes. The Trojans are Dardani. With all these tribes are all related to the Javanite group of people. And so like Trojans and others, the Mycenaeans and the Spartans during that time were from Neolithic tribes that developed into Bronze Age tribes, where the Dorians were a tribe that moved out of Greece, then went almost clear into in Switzerland and became early Iron Age, and then came back, and that's what caused, they call the Bronze Age collapse, because of their weapons and stuff. And and the reason why they did that is because they were a brethren tribe to the Trojans. So they came back to revenge their their compatriots, and that's what I get out of the history. But the word Durian actually just means spearmen, which goes through all, like the word German means a spearman, and it goes all through the all those hoplites. They're all the same name in different nations. They still call that same class of men the spearmen. So it just depends on what nation you're dealing with. But they're all basically the same guys. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 That's true. Yes. Where at? What? In Italy? Okay. Well, the southern Italians are Neolithic inhabitants, the same as the Trojans. And especially in Sicily, they're all the same tribes of people. And another name they come up with is the term Pelasgic. Or in other words, they descend from Pelagos, the son of Zeus. Okay. So that's another group of Javanistic people. All these people are R1B, Neolithic, very early Bronze Age, where the later Greeks that came and took over areas of Sicily and Italy were Bronze Age Greeks that descend from the Dorian Greeks. And then the Italic tribes are people from the Sumerians who are Pontic Steppe R1B from the nation of Gomer. So the northern Italians, the central Italians on the R1B is that type of Italian. Then also they also went into France and then they became the Gauls, Italo-Gaulish. And then as the Roman Empire lost men, they started to bring in those men, see? So the highest subgrade in central Italy is Italo-Gaulish men that are Celtic, basically, or where the Italic tribes were more proto-Celtic because the Gauls descend out of them. But when the word Gaul and Celtic, they also include, depends on the reference what I'm talking about right now. So, like Gaul, some of the Gauls or the Belgae were from Togarmar tribe, so you got it. Like it's why it gets a little confusing when I talk to people, because that's on the R1B. Togarmar tribes are the Belgae and they're related, and that is Proto-Germanic genetics, where the other branch, fraternal branch, is the Celtic German Italo branch, and that comes out of Gomer and Ashkenazi and Riffath and Togarmar. I mean, I'm on Facebook on ancient Japhetic nations, and I can post the URL to you, and then maybe you can get it out through videos. Yeah. And somehow when this got set up, it's hard for me to add folks directly to it. You have to, like, friends me, and then I could add you. I don't know why. And so then you could, I'm Frank A. Fontana, D.C. I'm the only one that's like that. I'm easy to find. You could friends me and then send me a request, and I'll add you to it. And then if you don't want to be on my friends page, you can click that off and just be on the Japhetic Nation one. Well, I've had my arguments, and it's like this one particular country, they're promoting the Pelagastric idea of vaster nation. I go, okay, you have, so there's, they had E, I, and R, 1B as the three, almost one-third each as in that nation. I go, okay, which one is the Pelagastric? Which one are, you're saying your nation is this, which one is the men that are this one, you know? And, you know, so they kept saying, well, it's this. I go, but these people are not Indo-European people, don't speak Indo-European languages. So if you're saying you're this and it's Indo-European languages, then it's the R1B people. Well, they don't like the R1B people because we're all related to the Javanite group of people. And so they're so like Trojans and others, the Mycenaeans and the Spartans during that time were from they were from Neolithic tribes that developed into Bronze Age tribes, where the Dorians were a tribe that moved out of Greece and went almost clear into Switzerland and became early Iron Age and then came back, and that's what caused, they call the Bronze Age collapse because of their weapons and stuff. And and the reason why they did that is because they were a brethren tribe to the Trojans. So they came back to revenge their compatriots. And that's what I get out of the history. But the word Dorian actually just means spearmen, which goes through all, like the word German means a spearman, and it goes all through all those hoplites. They're all the same name in different nations. They still call that same class of men the spearmen. So it just depends on what nation you're dealing with. But they're all basically the same guys. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. Yes. Where at? What? In Italy? Okay, well, the southern Italians are Neolithic inhabitants, the same as the Trojans. And especially in Sicily, they're all the same tribes of people. And another name they come up with is the term Pelasgic. In other words, they descend from Pelagos, the son of Zeus. Okay. So that's another group of Javanistic people. All these people are R1B, Neolithic, very early Bronze Age, where the later Greeks that came and took over areas of Sicily and Italy were Bronze Age Greeks that descend from the Dorian Greeks. And then the Italic tribes are people from the Sumerians who are Pontic Steppe R1B from the nation of Gomer. So the northern Italians, the central Italians on the R1B is that type of Italian. Then also they also went into France and then he became the Gauls, Italo-Gaulish. And then as the Roman Empire lost men, they started to bring in those men, see? So the highest subgrade in central Italy is Italo-Gaulish men that are Celtic, basically, or where the Italic tribes were more proto-Celtic because the Gauls descend out of them. But when the word Gaul and Celtic, they also include, depends on the reference what I'm talking about right now. So, like, some of the Gauls or the Belgae were from Togarmar tribes. So that, you know, so you got that, like, it's why it gets a little confusing when I talk to people, because that's on the R1B. Togarmar tribes are the Belgae, and they're related, and that is Proto-Germanic genetics. Where the other branch, fraternal branch, is the Celtic German Italo branch, and that comes out of Gomer and Ashkenazi and Riffath and Togarmar. I mean, I'm on Facebook on ancient Japhetic nations, and I can post the URL to you, and then maybe you can get it out through radios. Yeah, and somehow when this got set up, it's hard for me to add folks directly to it. You have to like friends me, and then I could add you. I don't know why. And so then you could. I'm Frank A. Fontana, D.C. I'm the only one that's like that. I'm easy to find. You could friends me and then send me a request, and I'll add you to it. And then if you don't want to be on my friends page, you can click that off and just be on the Japhetic Nation one. Well, I've had my arguments, and it's like this one particular country, you know, they're promoting the Pelagastri idea of that's their nation. I go, okay, you have, they had EI and R1B as the three, almost one-third each as in that nation. I go, okay, which one is the Pelagastri? Which one are, you're saying, your nation is this, which one is the men that are this one, you know? And, you know, so they kept saying, well, it's this. I go, but these people are not Indo-European people, don't speak Indo-European languages. So if you're saying you're this and it's Indo-European languages, then it's the R1B people. Well, they don't like the R1B people because their enemies are across the border are the same guys, but just across the border. See, and part of it was religion, and part of it was language. Over time, changed. See, so you know you're mad at the same nation that you spawned out of. So that's why I think it's important. My work may resolve. You know, okay, we're fighting ourselves. You know, like maybe I don't know, and so that it took several arguments, and you know, thank God they didn't give up, and they're still my friends, and I've never been blocked that I know of. They all listen. Well, right now I'm working on the Norway, the Norwegians. And I've posted to several postings on that. And the Norwegians are mainly from the house of Togarmar, which the son of Gomer. And they came across from the northern part of the Caucasus Mountains and also the Black Sea, and came right across Europe. And went into Scandinavia, and you get the Lombard people. They're from Togarmar, from Bardos, son of Togarmar. They even several of the ancient Roman writers says, well, their name is Bardos. And then there's another subtribe of the Lombards called the Lecobardos, which Lec is another son of Togarmar. And I mean, I go on and on about, because I've written now 130 some pages on that subject, that I'm almost finished on it. So that makes the Norwegians a lot somewhat different than the Swedes, who mainly come out of Tiris tribes. And they also had Yeah, where is this coming from? I feel lucky to be able to figure this out, really. I feel blessed about it. Yeah. Yeah. No problem. Yeah, well, thank you. I've got one more little thing to do. I've got to open up a Facebook account under Chrome. What's this Chrome here? What do they call it? All right, I've hooked up with the Skyscrape, and they got me a camera. And my wife said I have to clean up my studio room here, otherwise they'll give me lignati, Italian for licking. But it said I have to open a Facebook account with Chrome, the new Chrome, what they call that, Google Chrome. And then I will be able to, we'll be able to see me on the camera, I guess. So if you want to do more interviews later, maybe we can see each other, I guess. Well, this fall, I'm planning to visit. You're in Detroit, right? This fall, I'm planning on visiting relatives there. But that's when my family came from Sicily through New York. They ended up in Detroit. And so I have a very extensive family there in Detroit area. And I think Frank knows some of them there. So I give you about 7 or 8 names. Yeah, probably. And so when I do, I'll let you know when I come by and see you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure. I will post to you directly every time I post. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Definitely one of the most knowledgeable people in that particular scientific field.
Yeah. Great guest.
He had a lot of information there.
Yeah.
I wish people would have called him to try to talk to him and ask some questions, because that was a pretty good interview.
All right. Well, I guess it's 10 after 9 now, so...
We may have ran over a little bit.
Yeah, we ran over a little bit. We missed a little bit. I think we were muted for a while there a couple times.
Screw the advertisers.
Yeah, we're gonna get through it. But, good season. Thanks, everybody, for being viewers. And come next fall, we'll be back on. Look for a few specials come this summer. We might go to a few places and check a few things out. We got a couple live events going on with Detroit Rock City Radio. It's going to be a good time. So until next fall, keep an eye out. When The Walking Dead comes back, The Wormhole comes back.
Ciao, everybody.
So later.